Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13. Rahugana converses with Jad Bharat. Text number 9. Kvachit Nigirna Ajagara Ahina Jana Na Avaiti Kinchit Vine Vipine Apavida Dashta Sma Kshete Kwa Cha Danda Sukai Andak Andakupe Patita Tamisre Kwachid Nigirno Jagaradina Jano Navaiti Kinchid Vipine Pavida Dashtak Swamet Shete Kwan Chadanda Shukar Andanda Kupe Patitas Tamisre Kwachindir Girno Jagaradina Jano Navaiti Kinchid Vipane Pavida Dashtasma Shete Kwachadanda Shukar Andonda Kupe Patitas Tamisre. Anda kupe patitasta misre. Kachin nigurno jagaradina jano. Ati kinted vipane pavida. Dashtas masete kvachadanda shukar. Andonda kupe patitas tamisre. Pachin nigirno jagaradina jano. Navaiti kinchid vipane pavida. Dashtas masete kvachadanda shukar. Andonda kupe patitas tamisre. Navaiti kinchid vipane pavida. Kashtas masete kvachadanda sukar. Ando tabukupe patitas tamisre. Ladies. Quachit, sometimes. Nigirna, being swallowed. Ajagara, Ahina, by the great snake known as the python. Jana, the conditioned soul. Na, not. Avaiti, understands. Kinchit, anything. Vipane, in the forest. Apavida, pierced by arrows of suffering. Dashta, being bitten. Sma, indeed. Shete, lies down. Kwacha, sometimes. Danda Shukai, by other kinds of snakes. Anda, blind. Anda Kupe, and a blind well. Patita, fallen. Timisre, and a hellish condition of life. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The conditioned soul in the material forest is sometimes swallowed by a python or crushed. At such a time, he is left lying in the forest like a dead person, devoid of consciousness and knowledge. Sometimes other poisonous snakes bite him. Being blind to his consciousness, he falls down into a well of hellish life with no hope of being rescued. Please repeat. The conditioned soul in the material forest is sometimes swallowed by a python or crushed. At such a time, he is left lying in the forest like a dead person, devoid of consciousness and knowledge. Sometimes, other poisonous snakes bite him. Being blind to his consciousness, he falls down into a dark well of hellish life with no hope of being rescued. Purport. When one becomes unconscious due to being bitten by a snake, one cannot understand what is taking place outside the body. This unconscious condition is a condition of deep sleep. Similarly, the conditioned soul is actually sleeping on the lap of the illusory energy. Bhaktivedanta Thakur has sung, Kata Nidra Yao Maya Pishachira Kole. O living entity, how long will you sleep in this condition on the lap of the illusory energy? People do not understand that they're actually sleeping in the material world, being devoid of knowledge of spiritual life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Enichi Asaudi Maya Nachi Bari Lagi Harinama Mahamantra Lao Tumi Magi. I have brought medicine to awaken every living being from perpetual sleep. Please receive the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and awaken. The Katupanishad 1.3.14 also says, Utishta Jagrat Jagrata Praptya Varan Nibodhata. O living entity, you are sleeping in the material world. Please get up and take advantage of your human form of life. The sleeping condition means loss of all knowledge. In the Bhagavad Gita 2.69, it is also said, Yani sha sarabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyani. But as night for all beings, it is the time of awakening for the self-control. Even in the higher planets, everyone is under the spell of the illusory energy. No one is really interested in the real values of life. The sleeping condition is called Kalasarpa, the time factor. Keeps the conditioned soul in a state of ignorance, and therefore pure consciousness is lost. In the forest there are many blind wells, and if one falls down in one, there is no chance of being rescued. In a state of sleep, one remains perpetually bitten by some animals especially snakes. So the verse again, Kvachin nirgirno jagaradina jano na vaiti kinchit vipane pavida dashtasmasete kvachadanda shukar andonda kupe patitas tamizre. The conditioned soul in the material forest is sometimes swallowed by a python or a crush. At such a time, he is left lying in the forest like a dead person, devoid of consciousness and knowledge. Sometimes other poisonous snakes bite him. Being blind to his consciousness, he falls down into a dark well of hellish life with no hope of being rescued. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyadya De Satarne. This fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, and other chapters which are similar, the one coming up, the forest of enjoyment. This is only the preliminary one before we get really into the forest of enjoyment, or the forest of suffering. There was one book in Dutch that was translated. It was about the forest of enjoyment. One of our devotees was distributing the book, and one lady bought it. And she became so disturbed, because it's the one where it shows the wife, she has fangs and claws, and the children, they're little jackals, and the man is sitting there, and the wife and children are ready to devour him. So one lady bought this. She went home and looked at the pictures, and she called up the devotee and said, "You seem like such a nice person. How could you be possibly connected with this?" So people can understand very easily. It appears very negative that we're unconscious, and in our unconscious state, we're being bitten by snakes or being crushed in the forest of so-called material enjoyment, etc. And this is only one of the verses. It goes on and on. It seems like whoever was writing it had some, well, at least when they wrote these chapters, they had a bad day. A very bad day. But it is actually not a bad day. It is actually simply stating reality. The problem is that we don't know what reality is. Therefore, when we hear this, it seems very disappointing and discouraging to hear the material world described in such a negative way. But the material world is a place of dukkhaliyam ashasvatam. But that doesn't mean that there is not another world which is full of anandam, ananda, buddhi, vardhana, an ocean of happiness. But if we're thinking that there is potential in the material world in order to enjoy, that simply I haven't learned the proper lessons, and when I go through the process of hearing from authorities how to enjoy the material energy, how to manipulate it in such a way as I can actually enjoy it, that means we may grossly manipulate the material energy, try to build bigger buildings or faster cars or computers with more powerful memory. We may do it that way, or we may learn psychology, how to manipulate people, how to win friends and influence people, ultimately so we can exploit them for economic development and sense gratification. Flatter people, threaten people, learn when is the proper time to do everything in the material world to get what we want. And if what we want is simply more material energy to try to gratify our senses with it, then punak punas charvata charvananam. It is simply chewing the chew. But we don't like to hear that. We like to hear that in the future they're going to come out with computers that will be 3D, so it will be more real. So when we, it'll be almost like sense gratification. So we can watch our 3D movie and practically speaking, just we'll be almost there. But almost where? What else are they going to come out with? Unless they have, of course, sometimes they have videos of Krishna. Like they have this, they're usually not perfect, but at least they're about Krishna. I had a very beautiful one about Krishna Kaliya on the internet. But of course, it was their version of Krishna Kaliya. In any case, what are the? This world is 3D already, and it's not very pleasant. So if your computer becomes 3D, it's not that the computer will be pleasant, it will be more pleasant than the unpleasant 3D that we see already. In any case, there is a world, there is a consciousness we can come to by living in the material world in the proper way, so we can get actually what we're looking for, what we're really looking for, namely to have a blissful life which is full of knowledge eternally. But we have to recognize at least that we're asleep. It is said in the Bhagavatam that there is no impediment greater for spiritual advancement than to believe that there's something better for happiness than Krishna consciousness. The material world is a competition. Everyone's advertising that this will make you happy, that will make you happy. This is the Christmas season. Everyone wants to claim, you know, you should go out, spend your money on this thing, and this will make you happy or make someone else happy. And by their becoming happy, you'll become happy. But it's a competition. We're saying that there is no higher pleasure than Krishna consciousness. Of course, unless we experience that higher pleasure, we may say it, we won't be very much convinced what we're talking about. If we ourselves are hankering after material happiness, or as an official statement, because we're officially a member of the Hare Krishna movement, we claim that happiness is found in the holy name or in the process of Krishna consciousness, and we're just waiting when we're going to experience it ourselves. Therefore, we don't really have very much conviction. Therefore, who's really going to believe us? And what is the process? The process is very simple. Chant and hear. But what's the difficulty? Why can't we just chant and listen? Why? Because our minds are too agitated. And what are they agitated by? They're agitated by the desire that we're going to become happy in the future. What our plans are to become happy in the future. What we need to complete our happiness. What we're missing in the material energy. And the other is lamentation. Disappointment that in the past I tried so hard and so sincerely to become happy in the material world. It never quite worked out the way I wanted it to. And therefore, either we're angry, frustrated, and we want to get revenge against others. That we think that will make me happy. This person impeded my sense gratification 15 years ago. When I get even with him, then I'll feel satisfied. So this hankering, lamentation, these are all varieties of illusion that prevents us from simply hearing and chanting because we're distracted. Yoga chalati manasa. The illusory energy, her business is simply to try to distract us. The problem is she doesn't have to try very hard. And the other problem is that there's so much opportunity for distraction. Kali Yuga means people are inventing ways to distract others or attract them to their distractions. And they're expert at it. They know exactly how to blink the lights and what color lights to blink and what form to put the lights. Of course, it all boils down to usually the same thing. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending with a heavy emphasis on mating. So they arrange the lights, the shapes, everything just to encourage you that actually this time it's going to be different. This time it's going to be divine. And it's going to last forever. Of course, it never lasts forever. And everyone knows it's not going to last forever. But people have to have some hope. They have to have some direction, some goal, something to do. But because they are not informed that there is actually an absolute goal which will last forever. As I mentioned before, Prabhupada was going to a doctor one time here in Los Angeles, and on the way back he passed by a movie theater, and the movie theater said, the title of the movie was, Is There Sex After Death? So Prabhupada came back and mentioned that in his class, and he said, people are worried, is there sex after death? So you should go out and tell them that, yes, there is sex after death. And 8,400,000 species of life. That way they won't worry about death. That opportunity will always be there. We shouldn't worry that it's going to be taken away, that I'm missing something important. But in the meantime, we should take advantage of what's really important, namely to not get distracted by those things. If we're eligible to utilize those things in Krishna's service, whether eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that will be there at the proper time. But in the meantime, rather than simply spend our whole life making arrangements for eating, sleeping, mating, defending, take a little time, a little break, so we can actually hear and chant peacefully and happily the holy name of Krishna, and therefore be able to get Krishna's association. It's not very difficult if we just chant and hear the holy name and try to feel Krishna's presence in the holy name, then we'll find out that we can feel Krishna's presence in the holy name. That Krishna is present in the holy name, and it's possible we can become aware of him. That's why we're here, to become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, there's no reason to be in the Krishna consciousness movement unless we're trying to become conscious of Krishna. And when we see that we have other objectives in life, because Maya is filling our day up, our schedule, when we see we have other objectives, then that's all right, but not to forget the real objective, the ultimate objective, namely to become conscious of Krishna. And if we try to do that, we put that into practice, gradually, as we actually become conscious of Krishna, we'll see that everything else is shama eva hi kevalam, is useless, is vishaya vinivartate, nirha rasi dehinam, rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. That when we get the higher taste, then we'll know what the real goal of life is. Because that is the goal. That's what everyone's looking for, is that higher taste. And when we experience it, then we'll find out that actually the process that we're taking to is the most valuable process. One time, Jagannath was initiated by one of our devotees. He was Prabhupada's one of the first people to meet Prabhupada and actually offer him some assistance. What was his name again? I forget. Robert Nelson. So Prabhupada had some lila with Robin Nelson. One time Robin Nelson asked him, can you tell me how to make chapatis? And Prabhupada, I guess he needed money at that time, he said, the recipe is $100. And he paid it. I guess that was the only way Prabhupada could get a donation from. Certainly worth $100. And then one time he asked for the Maha Mantra, and Prabhupada wrote down on a piece of paper the Maha Mantra, and he said Prabhupada handed him the piece of paper with the Maha Mantra just like he was giving him $1 million. For us it seems quite ordinary chanting the holy name, but when we can actually chant the holy name without offense, purely with attention and feeling, then the result is when the holy name reveals himself to us, then we'll understand just how valuable the holy name really is. But what's the difficulty? As mentioned here, because of this hankering lamentation, they're just symptoms of the fact that we're asleep in Maya. We're imagining ourselves to be a material body. We're imagining everyone else to be their material body. We're imagining so many things that are not real, and we're attached to this imagination. We think we have some interest in remaining in an illusion, and therefore we remain asleep in the lap of Maya. So someone has to come and shake us. This knowledge, Prabhupada's books, and this process of devotional service is meant to shake us a little bit. Vishan Mahagne Purushada Darshanat. Queen Kundi was praying, you put us in a position where Bhima was poisoned, we were put into a house of lack, we were thrown into a forest where there was a man-eater. our dear daughter of Draupadi was trying to strip naked. This is horrible, but actually it's meant to shake us out of this illusion that this is going to be a peaceful, happy place to live in. So we get shaken and we chant the holy name and try and wake up, then our life becomes sublimely auspicious. And if we simply say, why are you bothering me, trying to shake me, and then we remain asleep, pretending to be asleep, even when we wake up, then we remain actually asleep in the lap of Maya. As we all heard, Prabhupada used to say that it's easy to wake someone who's asleep, but someone who's actually awake but pretending to be asleep, then it becomes very hard to wake them up. So if we know within our mind that actually I'm an illusion, but we want to enjoy this illusion, well, that's just like being awake but pretending to be asleep. But don't bother me, don't wake me up so much, let me give it one last good old try, see if I can enjoy my illusion, and when I get 99 years old and I realize I can't, then I'll try and wake up then. When I see the Yamadutas coming, then I'll get out my japa beads, dust them off, and hit them with it as I chant the holy name. No, we should realize we're asleep, and what is the advantage of waking up, and how we're being tricked repeatedly by the illusory energy, so that without intelligence, we can not become distracted so easily. So, as usual, stop here. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you for a very nice explanation. This point you brought up about the book that was distributed, I guess that was in Holland somewhere. We always have two camps even within our community based on that. In other words, like here in LA, we did this book, Spiritual Yoga, based on teachings of Vaishnavi.
Yeah.
You know, some devotees object to that. They don't like that strong approach. Even in our science preaching, we have the Sariputta and Jhutakarma camp that wants to, you know, stomp on Darwin, and you have the other side that wants to coddle up with them and just have little seminars. And so we always have those two camps in our community. Maybe you can say something about that. Which is better, the direct, strong approach, you know, you're in Maya, or, you know, just kind of coddle up and maybe wake them up gradually.
Well, I think we have to be a little careful sometimes, like, for instance, in this particular book, when you put in pictures like that, because the first thing people look at is the pictures. And when you put on pictures, you know, in the middle of the forest, the first picture people see is the wife and the little jackal-like children attacking the poor man trying to eat him. Well, some people will get a it's not what you begin to preach people about. Just like you wouldn't go into a completely new area. For instance, you were invited to speak before the Elks. Do they still have the Elks Club? And the first thing you say is you describe how women are just like, foxes, and little children are like jackals, and they're trying to eat the poor man. And the whole room was half full with ladies with their children. You know, you're not going to get a very good reception for whatever else you have to say. We have more important things to tell people, namely that you're not your body, etc., etc. And when people become a little bit more familiar with our philosophy, then they'll realize that, you know, the Bhagavatam is criticizing anyone who's into sense gratification, not any particular person or any group of people. Then we'll find out that the man is also like a dog after sense gratification. So it's not like the man is good and he's being attacked by his wife and children. No, everyone here who's not Krishna conscious is condemned to a life of suffering and ignorance. Therefore, better to organize things in such a way is that when we give someone the literature, they're introduced to the philosophy in such a way as they'll be able to take advantage of it. Not that we deny one side of our philosophy and we think the other side is good. Actually, all our philosophy is good. It just has to be presented according to time, place, and audience. And how to do that, you know, that takes some thoughtfulness. Yes.
Prabhupada, sure. He said that we should go in like a needle and come out like a plow. Sometimes we go in like a plow and come out like a needle. Even in the first initiation, Prabhupada, he was just given the positive aspects of Krishna consciousness. And at the initiation, the devotee said, "Are there any rules we have to follow?" Prabhupada was just so positive, you know, everything that people would appreciate, you know, rather than coming off strong.
Yeah. Savasra.
You know, of course, in the Bhagavatam, it does speak a lot about these kind of issues in relationship to the wife, the husband, and the force of enjoyment. And as devotees, it seems that we should understand this is in relationship to those that are completely ignorant of Krishna consciousness, that they're, you know, not understanding, they're not the body, and things of that nature. But as devotees, we should try to understand we're not this body. And if we take a look at the opposite sex, we should see that they're like our mother. This is the injunction, that we should see every woman as one's mother.
Yeah, so if you put a picture like that in the books, my suggestion is have one side the mother and taking care of the children, you know.
Yes.
And then, you know, the other side, and then explain that this is what it's like when you're in divine consciousness.
Yes.
This is what it's like when you're in material consciousness.
It's like Mother Earth, there's mother, you know, there's eight mothers. So, yeah. You know, even in the Krishna book, you see Krishna, you had, I mean, I don't think Krishna was looking at all the gopis and his mothers and, like, you know, somebody with big, huge nails, and because he's a supreme lord, he understands we're not this body. And as devotees, that should be our first principle. We're not these bodies, as you say. So we shouldn't take this particular Bhagavatam section and all of a sudden think that all the ladies in our community are people, are girls, ladies that have big, huge nails, and they're going to, like, you know,
rip you apart
or something. This is a complete misunderstanding and a lack of one's Krishna consciousness. First principle is, if you're a brahmachari or householder, you should see another woman as one's mother, and you treat them accordingly. How do you treat your mother? I didn't grow up, even as a karmi, I didn't grow up thinking my mother was the person who had big, huge nails and ripping my father apart. And that was the furthest thing. So even as devotees, we should be very cautious that we don't take this philosophy and use it for our own aggrandizement and our own misunderstanding of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness.
Thank you. Sura.
In there, we've got several people that wrote that liked it. You might have gotten one complaint. I don't know who she wrote to. The only number in there is the BBT, so she would have had.
No, this is in Holland. This is the translation.
Oh, in Holland. Maybe they copied the book, but when we wrote and made 120,000 copies, we've got letters in that I could show you personally that say it was very good. And sometimes people say, just like we gave one lady the book Spiritual Yoga, and she said, "You're a Yamanakarya." She said, "I really can't stand your Yamanakarya, what he wrote in your book." Believe in Yamanakarya? I said, "What did he write?"
Who's Yamanakarya?
She said, "Oh, about spitting when I think of illicit sex, my past sex life."
Yamanakarya.
So I said, "Oh, Jamunacharya." She said, "Whatever." She said, "That's totally not spiritual. People are sentimental. And when you give them Krishna consciousness as it is, and Prabhupada did not water down Krishna consciousness. He gave it as it is. He blew people out of the water in many ways. By quoting Yamunacharya so many times, he blows us away. That we have to be careful not to, like one so-called devotee called the BBT and said, "Are there any books that the BBT has available that aren't women bashing?" And I said, "Well, Bhagavad Gita." And the response was, "Well, that's woman bashing." We have to be careful not to be too sentimental and think that, oh, everything, when the Bhagavad Gita says different things or when Prabhupada says very heavy things, that it's not something that was only for a particular time, or that we should water it down because...
Yeah, I don't, Well, very good. I don't know how we've gotten to this. I just meant one picture and someone's reaction to it. Anyhow, we got into a whole thing here. Thank you very much. Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Roll.